Welcome to Care of Souls, a podcast of 180 Ministries, where Dr. Stuart Scott serves as the executive director. 180 Ministries equips local churches with biblical counseling by offering counseling, education, and consulting services. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about how we can serve you. This podcast is being recorded in cooperation with the Masters University, where Dr. Scott also serves as a professor of biblical counseling. Visit their website at masters.edu to learn more about their programs in biblical counseling.
It's good to be with you on the Care of Souls podcast. I'm here again with Pastor Adam Tyson and Dr. Stuart Scott, ready to discuss this next one another in our series that relates to our previous one another on being kind to one another. And this next one is forgive one another. From the same passage in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, which says, again, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Stuart and Adam, over to you.
Stuart, just last week we talked about how we need to be kind to one another from this same passage. Can you maybe just quickly remind us what's going on in the context, and then let's move into how we can forgive one another?
Right. From last week, we talked about the first three chapters in particular are all about the gospel, who we were outside of Christ, who God is and his love and what he provided for salvation. Now that we're in Christ, positionally in Christ, then chapter 4 leads to practice, live out who we are in Christ, but now walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then it goes into real practical application of that doctrine. We looked at verses 22 to 24 about putting off the old, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new. And then it displays itself, numerous applications here in verses 25 to 32 of don't live this way. These are the old garments of the old man, using Colossians 3 language. Now put on these kind of actions that are Christ-like. And so back and forth, put off this, put on this, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 31 was, don't let this kind of hard attitude and words come out of your mouth, but instead words and actions that are kind, which we looked at was useful, helpful, not harsh, compassionate, tenderhearted. And then it says here, and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So that's kind of where we're at from last week.
Well, talking about the subject of forgiveness, what a much needed one another to practice. What's the basis of forgiveness and how does this work between two people?
Well, when it uses that at the very end of that verse, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, that sets up the whole imagery. We forgive because God forgave us, right? He has forgiven us so many sins that are innumerable. I think of if God were to count iniquity, who would stand, right? It's so many sins. But look what God did, set his love on us, sent his son, Jesus Christ, took our sin, imputed his righteousness to those who would repent and believe in him. So that's our model, and that's really our motivation.
Well, I think that's so key because we're basically talking about the topic of forgiveness is strictly a gospel picture of God forgiving us in Christ, as verse 32 says. So just a quick question on that. Does that mean that two unbelievers can't forgive each other?
They could use the language, but they're not going through the exact process of acknowledging sin and a payment for the sin that Christ has done. So they use language of, I'm sorry, I forgive you, but it's surfacey. It's not a complete removal of guilt before God.
So in many ways, it could be an evangelistic conversation right there. Somebody's talking about, you know, you're at work and they're having trouble at home and they're talking about their spouse and they can't forgive them. Then maybe you could just start right there and say, well, no wonder you can't forgive them. Yeah. You've never been forgiven yourself.
That's right.
And they're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, and then boom, you go right into the gospel. That's because without that picture of forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you, you really don't have a basis to forgive.
Yeah, and I think unbelievers, whenever they've done something wrong to you, I mean sinful, and they say, I'm sorry. I think the fact that we can graciously love them and say, it's no problem, or we could say, use the language, I forgive you. I know some Christians would differ with that, but we could say, and why it's so easy for me to say that is because what God has done for me, just what you said, like a bridge to the gospel.
Yeah. I can forgive you because I've been
forgiven. That's right.
I mean, that's what we used to tell our kids as well, as when we would discipline them with the rod as they were younger, just say, hey, I need you to ask for forgiveness. And guess what? Daddy forgives you. And the only reason I can forgive you is because I've been forgiven. Right. I've also sinned against a holy God, and God disciplines us, but he also loves us, and his loving kindness brings us into that relationship with him. And now it's my responsibility, and it's also my joy to forgive you as I've been forgiven.
Right.
Well, when we talk about forgiveness, right, I guess we're just already talking about so many aspects of this concept. I know there is a debate out there about two different views of forgiveness. Can you just summarize that real quickly for our listeners, what the two views are and which one you take?
When you get into forgiving, especially the words that are used in the Gospels, Jesus primarily uses a word of releasing. Release us as we release others. It's a fiemi, you release a debt. Someone has sinned against you and you are forgiving them and releasing it.
Okay.
The word that specifically the Apostle Paul picks up and uses a lot is almost more about the manner in which we forgive, which uses charis, charizomenomai. It's a forgive in this manner as God in Christ has forgiven you. And I think both are needed. You have to have a heart and a manner. We call it a forgiving spirit. We should always be willing to forgive because God has forgiven us so much. Always willing to forgive. And I think that reflects our God. God is always willing to forgive. But there are people that reject him and will head to hell, are in hell under his wrath because they did not acknowledge that. So it's not just blanket, I forgive you. It's a manner, a heart, attitude. One guy calls it preparatory forgiveness. Your heart's prepared to always forgive, but then the sin has occurred, a clear sin that the scripture would point out, and then it's a transaction that occurs, which now you say, I've sinned against you, will you please forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. And now it's done.
Everybody wants the transaction. Part of the question is, what do you do if you don't get the transaction?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Right. But the two different views that, as I've seen it and read on it, I mean, there are about like 7 or 8 books on forgiveness out there now. It's I forgive you, and you've never even confessed or acknowledged any wrongdoing. And that can be problematic. One book in particular that displays this, or actually he writes about it, Chris Braun, in his book on Unpacking Forgiveness. He says a therapeutic forgiveness that's out there in our world, but also in the church, that we just want everything to go away and we don't want to have to address anything. And so it's just telling everybody, hey, I forgive you, I forgive you. And the sins never taken care of. The grievous sins against one another is sort of like, well, I just forgave you. Well, the person never even asks. And you get into abuse issues. Adultery, all kinds of different clear sins.
You're saying maybe we should say, I confront you and I want to forgive you.
To say, I love you, right? We're to love everyone, even our enemies, but I love you and I am so willing to forgive you.
But we got to talk about this issue.
We have to talk about the issue. So it displays a heart willing. And then once the issue, the person acknowledges it and says, well, I really did. I sinned against God, I sinned against you. Will you please forgive me? Absolutely. And we do that quickly, repeatedly, lavishly. It's the manner in which Christ forgives. It's not, I'm going to put you on hold for 3 years before I forgive you. No, I forgive you immediately, but trust will be earned, right? Trust will be earned. And so the two different views, and the one I take, is that you have a heart that's reflective of God's heart, always willing to forgive. We see it displayed at the cross. Jesus was willing to forgive.
When he said, Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do.
That was a request. It was not a pronouncement. And the request was answered. We see that several days later with the leaders who, mm-hmm. some of them repented when Peter preached, mm-hmm. and then Peter confronted the people,
right?
The leaders and the people, and people repented, and so the prayer was answered.
So in Acts 2, with the sermon on Pentecost, there was many fulfillment, potentially, that request Jesus was making while he was on the cross.
And in chapter 5, I think, is where he addressed the people,
yeah,
and said, you delivered him over and chose a murderer rather than Jesus. And what can we do? And repent and believe. So there's the transaction part. So a hard attitude should lead to that transaction. So mm-hmm. that's the view. I mean, I believe the Bible supports that. But you said, what do you do when people aren't acknowledging their sin?
Right.
And that's where you still display the proper heart attitude by the help of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And try to remember, it's not about you. The biggest issue wasn't what they did to you. It's what they've done to God. Mm. And their greatest need is for forgiveness with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it helps you to aggressively love them, mm-hmm. and not get bitter or hold on to your hurts. Mm-hmm.
So what you would say then is maybe just have a spirit of forgiveness toward them, a willingness to forgive them, but the transaction hasn't occurred, and that distinction is still important to think about, lest you just say, I blanket forgive everybody, and no sin is ever properly addressed.
Right. And if we go to Matthew 18, when Jesus displayed, we talk about church discipline, mm-hmm. right on the heels of that, right following that, you know, he addresses, you know, Peter says how many times, and he says, not just seven times, but 77 times. In Matthew 18, a lot of people they miss this when they read this parable. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees. Now watch this, the actions of this servant. He falls on his knees. He implores him, have patience or mercy with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity, there's the compassion, tenderheartedness, mm-hmm. of the king. Out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt, which is phenomenal. I mean, we're talking about millions if it was in today's currency. And then it says, but when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, I think that's like 3 months a debt to pay off. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. And so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I'll pay you. He refused. Now there's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is you refuse when someone's asking, mm-hmm. for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness it just shows your heart that someone's really willing to acknowledge their sin and deal with it, and you say no. It says, he refused, went out, put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master all had taken place. His master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt. And here's a key word, because. I forgave you that debt because. You pleaded with me. And we usually miss that. Mm-hmm. There's the transaction. The heart of the king, willing, compassionate, tenderhearted. But he said, I forgave you because you pleaded with me, which meant he acknowledged his debt. Mm-hmm. And then he says here, shouldn't you have had mercy as I have had on you? And it says, in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So his debt came back. Mm-hmm. And you're going, I don't want to make all of this get up on all fours and walk around this parable. But an unforgiving Christian, if that's the way they are, they're not a Christian.
Yeah. We're saying forgiven people forgive.
That's right.
And if this first servant had have truly been forgiven of this incredible 10,000 talent debt, he would have forgiven the 100 denarii debt.
That's right.
But because he didn't, shows he never really had a change of heart. He was not really repentant. And now the king sees that. And of course, you know, our God sees that immediately in our hearts. In the parable, when that was brought to his attention, he's pretty much saying, hey, if you're not willing to forgive, then the forgiveness from me to you hasn't really properly taken place.
Yeah. And then he closes with, and so will my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And so there's the heart attitude manner, because God has forgiven us so much, and that should just come right out in a transaction with others.
You know, I'm so glad you read this passage to us today. This is exactly where I go in every counseling case I've ever done on forgiveness, because the parables are so easy to relate to. And it used to be, I used to think of myself as that second servant who somehow only had 100 denarii debt, which is a 3 months' wage. But really, I think the parable is also pointing to the fact that we all have this 10,000 talent debt to God. In other words, we've all committed sin against our Heavenly Father, and it's a debt we can never pay back, no matter how hard we work, no matter how righteous our acts are. All we can really do is throw ourselves at His mercy. Yeah. And then once we throw ourselves at His mercy and He forgives us, if we can remember, I'm a 10,000 talent sinner, how can I not forgive this 100 denarii debt?
Right.
Because what happens is if I've been forgiven, I've got to forgive this other person.
Right.
And besides, the debt I've committed against God is far greater than the debt this person committed against me.
That's right.
And so put yourself in the place of that first servant.
Right.
And then receive that gratitude of like, oh my goodness, my Father has forgiven me. My King has forgiven me a debt I could never pay. And now that might help you, motivate you, and see the sensibility of like, oh, I've got to forgive them. I'm compelled to forgive this other person their debt.
Right. And that is the kind of language, too, that we'll see our own log rather than their speck.
Yeah.
We just think, how could this person ever do this to me? And you're going, do you understand what you've done against the Lord? You know, you're right. That perspective that we're all, as Christians, the first servant.
Yeah. Well, you hear this all the time in counseling when something horrible happened between a husband and a wife, and then either the husband or the wife will say, well, I could never forgive them for.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear that language, then you're like, oh, time out. They don't understand forgiveness.
That's right.
You can't say, I would never forgive them for.
Right.
No matter what they did, no matter how horrible it is, no matter how many times the offense has been repeated, as you just read, 70 times 7 or 70 times 70, you know, the idea is it's a hyperbole. God forgives indefinitely. He always forgives.
Right.
And we have to always have that same manner of wanting to forgive the person who offended us.
And to think that someone could do something against you that you would never do is not understanding a good biblical view of yourself in the scriptures, that we're capable of doing the most grievous sins and evil that you can imagine apart from God's grace. Mm. So if I see someone, they've done something really horrible to me, I could do that to someone else.
Yeah,
I'm sure King David would have been appalled early on in his life to think about stealing another man's wife, a good friend's wife, and then killing him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I imagine he would just think that would be appalling.
Yeah.
But we're all capable of the worst kinds of evil.
Mm.
So it's having a too high of opinion of yourself to say, I could never forgive someone for doing something like that to me. It's only God's grace that keeps me from from not doing the same thing.
Yeah. You know, back in that parable of Matthew 18, when it says, the same will happen to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about what does it mean to forgive somebody from your heart? And we also know and love sometimes the lecture that ACBC gives about there's three rules to biblical forgiveness. Yeah. Maybe that would apply here.
Yeah. And I think from the heart out means the Spirit of God has done His work of redemption, right? His work of redeeming us, that our heart has changed. We are thinking like the first servant, you know, has been just forgiven, and now we are willing to forgive everyone for any issue. But yeah, three things that typically come up in when we forgive someone, we're choosing, as the Lord chooses, not to remember our sin. We're choosing not to remember the person's sin against us.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making a promise. I'm not going to dwell on what you did to me. You've confessed it. You've asked for forgiveness, and it's done. We don't get historical, as they say, you know, digging up the past.
Right.
Secondly, we're not going to talk to other people about what you've done.
Mm.
Now, there would be some exceptions if it was a crime.
Yeah.
Right? There are some exceptions to each of these, but for the most part, I mean, if it was abuse to a child, you know, that needs to be reported, not just, right. Hey, keep it between us.
Or if there's a grievous sin, you might need to confess that with your pastor or your counselor who's trying to delineate what happened.
And that's right.
You're bringing it up to be constructive, to deal with it, versus bringing it up in a negative, derogatory way.
Right. You're wanting to help them, not hurt them. So you don't bring it up to other people. You don't choose to remember, dwell on it yourself. And then thirdly, you don't bring it up to that other person and keep, you did this last week and the week before and the month before. So not up to others, not up to the person, and not dwelling on yourself is really forgiving from the heart, because that's how God forgives us.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I like to think of it as never bring it up again. And I mean that between you and the other person, because we understand that as God throws our sins as far as the east is from the west, He may, you know, our sins were scarlet, and He makes us white as snow. They were red like crimson. He makes us white as snow, Isaiah 1:18. Never bring it up to others again. You could go back to even don't slander one another out of Ephesians
or
4.
Gossip.
Yeah, and then don't dwell on it again would certainly be, you know, Colossians 3, set your mind on things above where Christ is. You don't have to keep dwelling on the past hurt.
Right.
Like what happened, happened. And I know that was painful and there's some consequences from it, but you don't have to dwell on that.
Right.
You can dwell on the character of God.
Right.
And you can dwell on the goodness of God and the mercy of God and how He even used this hurt and this pain in your life to somehow bring about good for His glory.
Philippians 4:8, right?
Yes.
Dwell on things like these.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so key. Talk to me, too, about just when you're talking and asking for forgiveness, so common in our culture, someone will be like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And someone else will respond to that. Hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
What is good about that? What's not good about that? Or maybe to say it another way, what's a better way to ask for and grant forgiveness?
Yes. I'm sorry is probably the most common, I think, that we use. And it's hard to interpret what that means. If you know the person very well and a strong believer, and they say, really sorry about what I said or did, we know them well enough to go, they know it's sin. They're choosing not to go back to their sin, but put on what's right now instead. But the I'm sorry makes it confusing in our communication and even in forgiveness. But if we confess our sin, as 1 John 1:9 says, and in Proverbs 28, it says, he who confesses and forsakes them, transgressions, they'll obtain mercy. So confession is saying the same thing God says about it. We ought to say, I sinned against you by doing this. You know, the Bible says, don't do this. I did it. So I want to ask your forgiveness. I did what was wrong, sight of God and you.
And maybe cite the sin.
Specific sin.
I'm sorry for,
right.
And you're about to move into probably, please forgive me for getting angry. Please forgive me for being for lying to you, for not telling you the truth. Please
yelling at you.
Me for not being kind, for being harsh with my words. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for. I mean, we have so many people who would say, don't say I'm sorry, say please forgive me. I kind of do the both thing here where
fine.
I say, I'm sorry for, will you please forgive me?
Right. As long as we have that language of confession, we're saying what God says, and we're asking for forgiveness, not just... hope we can just move forward.
Yeah.
No, release it, you know?
And not only is it important to ask clearly for their forgiveness, but now that kind of puts the ball in the other person's court.
Yeah.
And what they do with that in that moment is also helpful for their own soul.
Right.
Because if they're not able to release that to you and say, I forgive you, now they're harboring in their heart that spirit of unforgiveness, which is going to be detrimental to their spiritual health. And so whenever someone asks you, hey, I'm sorry for, will you please forgive me? That person needs to do more than just say, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I think it, to make it even a full-orbed biblical confession is not just to say, this is what I did that was wrong, but here's what I should be doing that's right, and here's my plan. Because that helps you, you know, repentance is an inward turn, right? A turn of the heart that comes out into action. From now on, I want to be doing this instead, and these are some things I'm thinking through. Will you please forgive me? Boy, you know how easy it is to forgive someone like that. They address the sin. They know it's wrong. They know what's right. And they've even told you things that maybe they're going to stop doing to go to the sin and what they're going to do right. That's very easy to forgive. And it's very biblical.
Then at that point, you should say, I forgive you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And at that moment, then you can truly put it behind you and choose not to focus on it anymore. Like we're saying, don't bring
prompts.
It up again. because it's been properly dealt with.
Right.
I think it's important to teach this to our children, don't you?
I do. It sometimes a little challenging because you don't know if the children are in Christ yet. You don't know where they're at in their own hearts or what they're capable of doing. You'd like them to go, you know, I have done something against you, and I want to stop doing that. And maybe at some point when they go, I just can't seem to, it's an opportunity to bridge for the gospel. Mm-hmm. But we have to watch how far we press mm-hmm. the biblical language and concepts to someone who is an unbeliever.
Yeah. I've heard you say that before. I think part of my question is like when you don't know when your kids truly come to Christ,
right.
You don't want to err on the side too much to say, well, when they're 17 and 18 and I'm finally convinced that I'll teach them this.
No.
But what you're saying is if you're pressing too hard on a young child without also pointing back to the gospel,
right.
Then maybe you're potentially making them just jump through a hoop that's not really helping.
Pharisaical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it says, you know, you're forgive from your heart.
Yeah.
Well, if their heart's not right with God, that's going to be very difficult to forgive from their heart. Is it still right to do to say, I've done something wrong to you and I want to stop doing that? Yes, that's right. That's right to do. That's just basic, like being a good citizen. You know, I want to not commit, you know, flagrant crimes against people. Mm-hmm. Well, unbelievers can do that, but it's not from the heart and it's not right with God. But it is easier to live with people that way.
Yeah, which really brings us back to the model. We want to forgive others as we've been forgiven by God in Christ. And if you don't have a gospel picture of what forgiveness really is, then you can't really live it out to His glory. And it always points us back to the fact I'm so thankful that God has forgiven me. Amen. And that when I confess my sins, 1 John 1:9, that He's faithful and He's just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Much appreciated, guys. To our listeners, have you been forgiven by God for your sins without you having to do anything to earn it? If you have, then you're a genuine believer who has been forgiven by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. How much, then, are we believers expected to forgive others as we've been forgiven, unconditionally and completely? Think about sins you've committed for which you need to seek forgiveness from God first and then from people who you've sinned against and people from whom you need to seek forgiveness. Or think about someone who has sought forgiveness from you. Seek forgiveness from God and others and forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. It's been a blessing to be with you today. May the Lord bless you as you seek to forgive one another. Until next time, take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Care of Souls. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by the truth from Scripture and are better equipped to serve Christ in His church. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about our resources and services. Until next time, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. May the Lord bless you as you abide in Him.